You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
Well, did he hook you up?
Yeah, two rolls.
Oh, there you go.
He doubled down.
See, actually, I think that's very neighborly of him.
Oh, he bought me a week.
A week?
You got to get some, like, bran muffins in that whole routine. What are you talking about, a week?
That's a day's week.
Might have bought me 2 weeks. Two rolls, 2 weeks.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Those toilet paper rolls, maybe three, not even touched today.
Yeah, but there was nobody at the house. No. Well, your kids weren't there.
No, I wasn't there.
What did you do?
I just came home. I didn't have to use them.
So we're tracking the toilet paper rolls?
The toilet paper tracker.
Yeah, the TP
TSN
tracker.
Index.
That feels like a poll question online.
Yeah.
Does the audience want us to track
how long the two rolls of toilet paper?
Well, I'll tell you this. I know that the bug that I got,
you'd gone
weekend,
in an hour.
Well, yeah, they would be gone in 30 seconds, especially, you know, there was some work to be done. So if somehow the remnants were still kicking around me and you got it, they would be gone. They'd be flushed.
I'll tell you what, I hit a low today for fitness. I went to TaylorMade, did a fitting, hit 100 golf balls, was dying after. Ribs sore, lower back, upper back, legs. I hit 100 golf balls and I was dying.
Do you ever feel comfortable though in those?
Never, because you're like, man, these guys are watching.
I hate it. I've only done it once. I hated it. For starters, I didn't hit a ball straight the whole time because I just felt like I was completely out of rhythm.
Yeah, I told the guy at the beginning, I'm like, give me those little blades, those Roy McIlroy blades. And I hit ones that were going sideways off the screen. He's like, maybe we got to do something else here.
You get a bunch of heroes in there, though. Like, that's the... Well, this is why I don't like golfing, because there's always somebody that wants to tell me how to golf.
Well, that's...
Golf.
But this is to the extreme, because it's a guy who thinks he knows your game. He's met you... He just got introduced 5 minutes ago.
Right.
But he knows everything about you. And I would guess they just assume people are lying to them.
Right.
Because the first thing they ask you is, what's your handicap? So... I'm not a great golfer, but
I'm going to interrupt you right here. I think for guys like you and Duthie, get some kind of idea about. I'm not kidding.
Is Duthie bad?
Yeah, he's awful.
No, he's awful based on your standards. Like, you are a very good golfer.
I know, but my thing is just get an idea of your swing speed and give you a shaft and then just say, go ahead, because you're not getting any better. I think, like.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm trying to say.
My
here.
Thing is, do you think equipment is going to make you any better than what you are?
No, not necessarily. But what are you, Rory McIlroy? What are you going
to
do?
No, I just think for a better player, you need to have your specs right. I think for a guy like you.
I think you're right. I'm not fighting you on this. I know who I am and what I am as a golfer.
Yeah,
me having a Pro V1, I'm not spinning the ball back now. I'm not. If it lands on the green, I hope it stays on the green. I'm not controlling the golf ball.
The driver, the TaylorMade driver will help you for sure. Because it might be bigger head, like more forgiveness.
Maybe some more clean drives.
But it's all in the shaft. Amateur golfers, bad golf, don't understand. They all want an extra stiff shaft like Tiger Woods. And they're hitting this thing sideways. And they need a regular senior flex.
Well, I'm not.
My buddy was
that.
The same way. He kept slicing this thing off. I go, bud, your swing speed is that of a guy that's 80 years old. You need a senior flex. And then you'll hit it straight.
I think you're right. I have terrible swinging, like my whole speed, my whole mechanics.
Are you Barkley up there?
No, I'm better than that. But I lunge. I'm brutal. Like I got a bad looking swing. I got a Jim Furyk swing.
But how many times do you golf in a year? Would it be a 10? Do you get out 10 times?
Well,
not even.
Not even
now
since I've had a kid and I got another one coming, there's no way. When I was at the height, when I was like a member at a course, I was playing 20? 80 times.
80 times a year?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Well, I wasn't married. I didn't have kids.
Yeah,
the course was
10
minutes away from here.
Oh, yeah. That's a layup.
I was on the blocks by 4:15. I did my show and I would sparks would be coming off the wheels.
Wow.
By 3:53.
Right to the course.
I'd be on the blocks at 4:15.
So at some point, your game was somewhat rounded, like decent.
Yes, I could break 80.
So you're in
not
the,
all the time, but I could break 80.
You were in 80s?
I'm telling you, I could break 80. I would always shoot in the 80s. I still shoot in the 80s. You put me on a course but, okay, right now shooting.
What's
the
closest goat track to here? Like one that is
Tam O'Shanter.
You both say it right away.
It is a goat ranch.
It is one of the worst looking golf courses.
Like
in
you
the
can
history
wear
of the cut sport. Off
jeans and a tank top and a mustache, and there's the first tee.
If you're not dressed like that, you're a loser.
Really?
Like it's the opposite. It's like it's bizarro world golf. Yeah.
If you show up shorts and high top Converse,
if you show up looking like you're a real pro golfer, they won't let you on.
Right. It's the opposite of etiquette. If you show up with a tucked in shirt and golf shoes, they look at you and they say, "Ooh,
yeah,
get the hell off the course." Yeah.
So is it a par three?
No, it's a full par 72. I mean, it's a real course.
Yeah, it's just a goat ranch.
You can probably drive 15 of the 18 holes. There's probably three or four par fives where you can't reach it.
So at what was it called? Tam O'Shantern. Okay, so at Tam O'Shantern, you're mid-80s at your best?
Oh, dude, I would break the 80s at Tam O'Shantern. The thing is, I'm like the Leafs. I play down to my competition.
Okay.
You put me on a dog track, I will carve that up.
Dude, I'm the same way.
Remember that Darren Dreger
took us to that goat ranch out in Whitby? This thing.
You were spraying the ball everywhere.
Everywhere. There was par fours. You hit a 6-iron off the tee. You were on the green. I'm like, I can't play this course.
Literally goats walking across this course.
Yeah, I remember you being quite critical of Dregs and saying, why did you take us to this place?
Well,
because he knew the guy or something,
it was
right?
For his kid's hockey team or something.
He roped us into the tournament, right? Which we were fine with doing. But
Of the tee blocks were gravel pits. Yeah. It was incredible.
It was awful. Easily the worst course I've ever played.
Ever. Ever.
But you play down to your competition. You play at like a great course that's the manicuring and everything's up to snuff, and you feel better.
You're locked in, and you get a little bit more focused.
Yeah.
Well.
But.
That's why I can't go into these places. Every time I play in a pro-am or something, I know what I am. That's why I don't golf. So I get up there, and I'm sure I've got an awful swing and everything that comes with bad golfing. But then I got a guy that goes, well, you just got to do this. You got to turn your wrist. I'm thinking, okay, let's watch you. Because I guarantee you, you're not on the pro tour. But, you know, this guy shoots 100, and he's trying to tell me how to.
It's Milos from Seinfeld.
Exactly. That's what it is. You know, he's the instructor, but then you watch him play, and you're like, why the hell would I want to follow that?
Yeah, he's
a chop. So I don't do it.
No, it's the worst, man. Everyone's played with those guys. Like, I have a family member that is maybe the worst golf player in the history.
I know what you're going to say. Worst player ever, and he chirps people.
He chirps, but he's always got an excuse.
Well, bad back. Or...
Oh, this guy will launch one 400 meters into the woods and go, I slipped. Yeah. You know, it's like, no, you didn't. You just did that in the last hole.
No, you slipped. Suck.
You're terrible.
You used the wrong S word.
Yes. You're terrible. You know, he'll chunk a wedge or something. He'll start looking at his club.
Yeah, bad club.
Bad club. There's always an excuse.
Yeah.
No, the worst guy.
Send us in your idea of the worst golfer.
The guy
that plays music, the guy that always has an excuse, the guy always giving advice. What is it? Let us know the worst kind of golfer.
Music on the course is a big thing now.
No, I got to admit, I dabbled this summer.
I don't mind that, though. I guess, to me, it kills the time. It's so slow.
I find it's got to be like country tunes, though.
It has to be country.
You get the hardcore rock, or you get what? It's just stupid.
You can't have AC/DC on the tee,
but people do. They got everything.
Metallica on the tee.
You're hanging over a 15-foot putt with 10 skins on the line, and Megadeth is playing.
Pantera's just rolling in the back. No, you do need something that I think is... easier
massive,
to listen
though.
To.
Those little Bose speaker things that you just throw in the cart.
Well, and you have to have respect for who else is on the course. Because if an old guy comes up or whoever and says, hey, knock it off, you shut it off.
Dude, you see any kind of mustache or gray hair, you shut the music off. Because you know they have never seen that garbage. They don't know what it is, and they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Speaking of deflection, Mike Babcock, he has put on a clinic the past 24 hours. I can't believe this guy... is reaching a point here where I sense he's feeling the heat. He always plays a role. You know, I don't listen to talk radio. I don't read the papers. I don't watch SportsCenter. He knows exactly what people are talking about.
Sure.
And as you would expect, he's human.
Yeah.
And he's in the firing line right now because his team that is loaded with talent is not performing well enough.
Mm-hmm.
They played better last night, but they still lost. There's no moral victories for a team like this.
Yeah.
No moral victories if you're going to the playoffs and...
Yeah,
you're a cup-contending team, or you believe you can be. But, you know, we talked about it yesterday, how he just doesn't have it in him to be a guy that's going to go crazy publicly. Right. You know, you said that's an ego play because he feels like, I did my job.
Yeah, I'm the best coach in the world. I coach Canada. I coach the Red Wings into the playoffs 20-something years in a row. I know how to coach, and if you don't dig in, you're not listening to me, so go ahead and drown in it.
Well, listen to these two clips, and we'll break both of them down because there's a, I feel like there's a fair amount of contradiction in both.
Sure.
Last night postgame, this really caught the ire of a lot of people. And he was asked about Nashville and how they've been playing. And Nashville's a really good team. They're a deep team. We all know what their resume is all about. This is what Babcock said postgame.
Yeah, they're a good team. They're a deep team. And, you know, they're deep enough they don't have to overplay their players. And I thought they played solid tonight, but I thought we did as well, too. So, no, I was pleased with our effort. I would have liked to see a score.
So they're deep enough they don't have to overplay their players.
Overplay their talent.
But yeah. He doesn't overplay their players.
No,
but that's what he was insinuating. And this is the same guy that earlier in the year said, we got good players here. If you want to play 25 minutes on this team, it's not happening. So what, now is he moving off that stance?
I don't know, because I don't sense that he's doing that. He's not, it's like...
Did Matthews play 25 minutes last night? Did he play McDavid's minutes?
Matthews played 18 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. Did he play McDavid's minutes?
No. Nobody does.
So I don't
know. Okay, then maybe let's not blow the comment out of proportion then. There's just a deep team. They don't have to overplay guys. Maybe he's not bringing it back to the Maple Leafs per se.
Well, he may not be, but I'm sensing that there's a theme here because he was talking about where, you know, earlier in the week, they need better players, or, you know, if there's going to be injuries, you got
to... have this stuff behind closed doors.
It feels like there are some subtle or maybe not even so subtle shots at basically management for the team that has been built
here. No question.
So from his standpoint, it's, hey, don't look at me. You know, I wish I had that type of depth,
right.
Which I think that's insulting if you're a Leaf fan, because this team is the most talented team they've had in 15 years. They're loaded with talent. You went out there and signed the biggest free agent in years. You acquired Jake Muzzin, who hasn't been great, but still, he's a capable top four guy.
Yeah, he sure is.
You have Freddie Anderson. You've got Morgan Riley, Mitch Marner. I mean, these guys are loaded with talent. Do you have a couple of injuries? Yes, but not unlike what any other team in the league has to deal with from time to time.
Yeah.
So consider those comments. And then today he was asked about whether or not there's pressure on Garrett Sparks to perform tonight.
I would think so.
What are you expecting from him?
I expect him to play well. I just know in life, when you own everything yourself. So the way I look at it, when the team isn't playing well, it's my fault. And it's my fault. You know, if I take responsibility for that, I can fix that. If you're the goalie and you play and your team doesn't win, if you own it, you can fix that. Anytime you're looking for any other help in life, it doesn't usually go your way. So just own what you do and play as hard as you can tonight. We're going to play hard for Sparky, and he's going to play well.
So in that clip, don't make excuses. If you're seeking out some sort of other option.
That clip means one thing. You want to be a hero in Ottawa? Let's see what you got tonight.
I took that kind of as a shot at Sparks, saying, well, like, you're the one who spoke out. You better back it up. And don't look... Don't look and place blame on your team and that. Like, look at yourself in the mirror. Maybe I'm wrong.
It is.
On that.
No, I'm not interpreting it any differently than you.
Right.
What I'm saying is when it's about Babcock, it's, well, we need better players. Well, he's not a right shot defenseman.
Right.
But when it's about Sparks, well, you better not look for excuses. You better play.
Yeah.
So which one is it? Which message is it? Are there excuses allowed where we're allowed to say, well, he's not a right shot defenseman? Or, they don't have the depth. No. Marty Morenson. Or is there no excuses allowed? Which one is it? Because I'm getting confused here based on the messaging.
No, I get that. I think you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth.
And I sense that that's exactly what's happening. When it's on him, and what are you doing here with this team? Well, go talk to Kyle Dubas.
Right.
But when it's on the players, no excuses there.
We've said this all along, and I don't think this is wrong. At the beginning of this year, I felt like Mike Babcock was on the clock. Like, you go and get John Tavares. They learned a valuable lesson in the playoffs last year. I thought they gained some experience. Yeah, you lose, and you lose in seven. Regardless of how poor the taste is in your mouth, you did get experience. You got 2 years in a row now of Austin Matthews in the playoffs, Mitch Marner, some players that are your core players, Freddie Anderson. But... now you get to a point where, you know, excuses are for losers. And that's where I think this year You've got a roster that has talent up front. You've got depth in all different areas in the organization. Now everyone's on the clock. Like it's and Mike Babcock, I think this is the first time in this market where people have started to take a look at, well, you know what, you know, you just scored. You now the goat's out there. Why are you not doubling down with another line? Like, you know, there are some things, some people that are starting to pick apart some of the decisions or lack of decisions that he's made. So he's on the clock.
Absolutely. That's Toronto.
And you're right. That's Toronto, but that's any market.
Yeah,
that's
Barry Trotz turned around the New York Islanders in their own zone, goals against, last to first.
Yeah.
How come this team can't make an adjustment and adjust what they're doing in their own zone? You tell me. I don't know.
They're going to have to.
Yeah. Well, tonight feels like a must-win night. Like, it's got to be a must-win. And you've got Garrett Sparks in net, and Sparks has got the spotlight on him tonight.
You're damn right he does. And this is...
I like that. No, I do.
You're damn right he does. I mean, he's the guy that that's been a big debate all year. Did they get the right guy? No, they didn't. They should have kept McElhinney, blah, blah, blah. He's had some performances where it's that performance in Ottawa, they weren't that good, but he was terrible. And that's why it was somewhat surprising the comments came out. But Nashville to Buffalo, I would imagine you're getting in pretty damn late.
That's a greasy
back-to-back.
It is a real greasy back-to-back because you lose an hour.
You lose an hour. It's a 2.5-hour flight, I would imagine.
Maybe not that long. Let's say an hour. Nashville's only about 2 hours from Toronto, so I think it's probably, you're right, 2 hours. So
somewhere around there. It's a real tough back-to-back.
It is a greasy back-to-back.
Right.
And Buffalo always plays well against Toronto at home for the most part. I mean, I think the last game, it was the Matthews overtime goal. It was a close game. But Jack Eichel always seems to perk up. They seem to have success. So
Buffalo sometimes, now they're out of the playoff picture, they are going to be looking for victories right down the stretch. You look for small victories, and that would be one. For them to beat the Maple Leafs would be a big, the Senators on the weekend.
Yeah.
That was a big victory for the Senators. Just a team, you know, that is rebuilding, and that they took a lot of pride in that. You could tell.
Well, there's either two scenarios, and it's stating the obvious, but they roll it over from last night, and they got that grind in their game, and their competition levels up, and they blow out Buffalo, or the doors blow off this thing tonight, and it could get greasy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I got an anxious feeling about it, to be honest with you. That's my gut feeling, that it could kind of come to a head tonight and get greasy.
I'm not allowing any excuses. They've played a lot of them the past 2 weeks. We coming back from Tampa, the excuse game was everywhere.
Yeah, you're right.
Coming off the West Coast, there's a couple of sickness. Ottawa, I don't think I really heard any excuses there. There aren't any excuses, but that was a back-to-back.
Yeah.
In the island, against the Islanders. Back-to-back, Sparks is in, a couple guys got injured the night before. What do you want out of us? We got embarrassed. You've played those cards a lot in the past 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
No, you're a professional.
Wasn't that game in the
team.
Island the first of a back-to-back, though?
No, it was the second.
Oh, it was the second.
They had a big win on the Wednesday. It wasn't Edmonton. They beat Edmonton on the Wednesday.
It was.
Rinsed them and then went into the island.
And got smoked. But built-in excuses, back-to-back, a lot of emotion, whatever. You've played a lot of those. You're a pro hockey team.
Well,
a pro hockey team gets up against a bad Buffalo team when you've been losing a lot of games.
Well, and you're right. Standings wise, it doesn't matter to me. You talk, Brian, about the moral victories. How about a confidence victory, like where the team can get back on track a little bit, where people are. You can tell. I sit back and I watch, and I can see a little bit of angst in Leaf Nation. People are upset. People are starting to point fingers. This guy's no good. Here we go again. First round exit against Boston. Like, people are upset. So how can you calm the masses in a small situation? How about a convincing win in Buffalo?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That would calm the masses.
Leaf fans are very sour right now. They're very jaded. There are a lot of jaded fans. You know, like you said, the missing the playoff curve, swept in round one, blah, blah, blah. But tonight, and we all know how this town works, a win and the whole attitude changes. And they're not going to catch Boston. Now they're six back. The Habs are 8 points back.
Yeah,
Montreal's.
They're locked in their spot.
But you've got a 5-game stretch here at Buffalo tonight, at home to the Rangers, at home to Florida, at Philly, at Ottawa. Secure your playoff spot in the next 5 nights. And then the final 4 games, use it as 4 practices for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And shut some guys down and play the backup. Like, So you got five games here in probably 9 or 10 nights.
Yeah.
Against all bad teams. All teams out of the playoffs. Buffalo, New York, Florida, Philly, Ottawa. All bad teams. Secure your 6-7 points. Lock in your playoff spot. And then take the final week to amp up or to rest. And just alleviate any pressure or any issues whatsoever.
I personally don't see it happening that way, because I think the way that this team is, they're talented, but they seem to be doing things the hard way. That's really.
And they play down to their competition a lot.
Right. But that being said, I think competition tries to play up to them. Like, you, I know if I'm looking at the whiteboard before the game, and I'm seeing some players over there, like, you're going to get the best. I said that at the start of the year. I still wholeheartedly believe this. When you face teams that are really good, you don't want to get embarrassed. So you get up for them. Like, Buffalo guaranteed is going to be up for tonight's game. Just because there's a rivalry, they know there's going to be lots of blue jerseys in the stands. This is a rivalry, whether people like it or not. Whether Buffalo's been on the wrong side of it for years, it doesn't matter. I think the minute that you start to say, okay, this team's not a playoff team, and you take your foot off the gas a little bit, the Leafs can do that, but I don't think they can afford that, if that makes sense, mentally.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But
yeah,
we'll see, starting tonight in Buffalo. Ray Ferraro will join us just after 5. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. Jerry's Percentages at 5:30. The Raptors are in Oklahoma City tonight. Kyle Lowry will not play. The NHLPA, they issued or they released their players poll, and we're going to put a bit of a spin on that and pertain it to the Toronto sports scene. I'm going to go around the table with a few poll questions. We'll get to that next. All right, Jerry's coming up in an hour. Maple Leafs and Raptors playing tonight. The Raps are in Oklahoma City. Kyle Lowry will not play. But Kawhi Leonard up against Russell Westbrook or up against Paul George. Oklahoma City's a pretty good test, pretty good team. That should be a fun game. And the Leafs are in Buffalo tonight. So Ray will join us, Jerry's Percentages at 5:30. But the NHLPA, they released their annual players poll. And a lot of it is kind of fluffy stuff, which is what you expect. They're not going to ask, you know, who are the worst fans in the league? Who's the worst media member covering the sport? You know, all that kind of stuff would be fun. But they're never going to do that. They're never going to put their players in that position. So it's who's got the best shot, who's got the best hair.
You're right. It's fluffy. Who's the best dressed? It's Lundqvist.
Exactly. And, you know, it's G-rated stuff where you're like, all right, whatever. Like, why not just put your name to it? Like, why do you have to be anonymous when it's stuff like this anyway?
I remember doing some of those, and I think they are jaded anyways, because when somebody goes around the room, they're like, what did you put? Oh, yeah, that sounds right. Like, you know, you just pile on.
I think it's stupid.
It's recency bias, too. Like, you know, if you just played a team and the goalie stood on his head, oh, that's the best goalie. You know, like, there are some things. Reputation does precede a lot of it, but I think it's, from a fan's perspective, from the outside, I don't mind it. It's good fodder to chat, too.
I'm not saying that it's, you know, horrible material or anything. I'm
Hard
just saying
I wish
it was a little bit more interesting. Like, who's the most overrated player? They didn't ask that.
Well, they had that a couple of years ago and came back as like FNUF or something?
Yeah. FNUF was in it multiple times. But that screams to me, hey, we're not doing that anymore because we don't want to embarrass anybody.
Right.
It's a union thing here, the Players Association. So anyway, we figured because that poll is out and it's causing, I wouldn't say a stir online, but, you know, it's a little bit of buzz. People are aware of it online, that we would put forth our own little poll question, and it specifically pertains to the Toronto sports scene. All right, so we'll all go around. I'll throw out the question, and you guys can answer it, okay? And we're not going to hide behind anonymity here. We're putting our name on this.
Okay, let's do it.
Since the start of September, who has been Toronto's sports MVP? Tavares, Kawhi, or Marner?
Ooh.
Or other, if you want to go off the board.
I'm going to go off the board and say Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, I was
going to steal Jamie's pick.
I was going to say maybe coming. Freddie. I didn't know that was coming, but I think I may split it. I may say Freddie and Kawhi. I think Kawhi has been, as advertised,
yes, he has.
It's unfortunate because he's the load management. We don't get to see him as much.
Right. That's the only kind of hiccup there, is that he's missed a fair amount of games.
Yeah,
right.
This guy was dialed in every game. He's a slam dunk.
And for some reason, I Marner really comes to mind, too. I think he's been fantastic this year.
Yeah, I was leaning Mitch Marner because he plays every single night.
Yeah.
I think, listen, John Tavares has done what Kawhi did.
Career year, too.
In terms of expectations being through the roof, and he's surpassed them somehow. Tavares and Kawhi have both done that. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Tavares has 40
right.
because of who he's playing with.
Correct.
You know, I think Mitch Marner has really had a spectacular season.
Yep.
And I would lean Marner simply because he's played. He's playing every single night. Which Toronto team gives you the most confidence heading into the playoffs? This should be an easy one. Maple Leafs or Raptors?
I don't know. They're both kind of...
a little wonky.
I'm going to go Leafs.
You're going Leafs.
See, you know what the Raptors have done? It's kind of a coin flip, man. I'm going Leafs. What the hell have the Raptors done in the playoffs? Kawhi or no Kawhi, that makes you so confident to pick them? It's a coin flip.
It depends on what the expectation is. If it's in the first round, the Raptors aren't losing in the first round. Right. I don't see it. I mean, could it happen? Of course. But I think they are a layup in the first round, regardless of who they play.
You say five. I saw that
a couple years ago was a layup, too.
Yeah. Well, it's not. Listen, you still got to play the games.
Yeah.
Like, they will not make it easy on themselves. It may go to seven.
Right.
But I think they would win in game seven at home. The Leafs, I don't know if they're going to beat Boston. Yeah, it's a coin flip at best.
It's a coin flip for
the
Boston.
I'm on the Raptors here.
I'm on the Raptors because you're right. If you're looking at who can last longer, I think the Raps can go a little bit deeper. Even if the Leafs win that first round, they could be up against Tampa, which would be, you know, that's going to be a hell of a matchup. So the Raps based on that.
Which Toronto head coach are you more confident in right now? Babcock, Nurse, both, or neither?
Ooh. If your buddy Casey.
There's some recency
involved.
Bias in it, but I'm going to go Nurse. Just because of the comments the last week seems to be on tilt a little bit. I'll go Nurse.
Nurse has a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, he does.
A lot. Like, I know a lot of people are focused on Babcock, clearly, and we just had that conversation. The honeymoon's over.
Right.
He's the highest paid coach of all time.
Yeah, if we talked about having that top 10 under pressure coming into next week, I think Nick Nurse might be at the top of my list.
That's why I'm going to say Babcock.
I was going to say neither, because where the Leafs have been, I've wanted them more structured defensively. A lot of that comes to commitment to defense, and it comes from the structure of the team. I think the coach has to wear some of that. And Nurse is coming into a season where he had to surpass 59 wins. That's what our buddy Dwayne Casey did.
And Casey got them to an Eastern Conference final in 16.
So there's pressure. I think neither for me, because I'm in the wait-and-see mode. Because show me.
That's reasonable. I would say Babcock because he has been there and done it before.
Right.
Like, Nick Nurse has never been the head coach of an NBA team in the spring. So everything's worked out well in the regular season. The NBA's regular season is very predictable based on talent.
Correct.
Everyone knew the Raptors were getting to the playoffs. Everybody knew that. What can you do once the benches start to shorten up? The tape is out and everyone's just focused right on you. What kind of adjustments can you make if you have to on the fly? Babcock has done it before.
But that being
Nurse
said,
has not.
Hasn't been out of the first round in
a long time.
10 years? Yeah, 10 years?
It's been a long time.
That's something that has to be focused, too.
Which Toronto sporting moment are you most excited for? Leafs playoffs, Raptors playoffs, or Vladdy Jr.'s first game in Toronto?
Leafs playoffs for me. Hockey.
Yeah, Leafs playoffs for me. Vladdy Jr. is right behind that.
I got
some kind of good feeling about the Boston series. I know it's a garbage dumpster right now. I just think that they're going to figure out a way to slay the dragon.
Well, from that standpoint, the most anticipated win is the Maple Leafs winning a playoff round.
Yes.
You know, the Raptors, we've become almost spoiled.
Yeah.
You know, every year they win at least a round. Beyond that, they run into LeBron and it just falls flat.
Right.
But I think I have a pretty good idea of what the Raptors are going to supply me as a fan. You know, I think they're going to give me at least four wins, and they're going to move on to the second round, if not more than that.
Right.
The Leafs, it's much more uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that uncertainty, I would go with the Leafs. Vladdy coming up, though, I mean, it's a very different perspective because you're talking about an individual player. And once he gets up, you can watch him every single day.
Correct. Yeah, but no, and that's...
the anticipation's been building for years, though, with Vladdy. Years.
Yeah,
but I would go Maple Leafs
it's
one.
It's still Leafs.
Which team's health concerns worry you the most? The Maple Leafs' defensive health or the health and just the ability to hold up for Kawhi and Lowry?
Right. I'm the Leafs' health for me, the defensive health. Because, you know, Dermott's back skating and seems to be on schedule. Jake Gardner, that one seems very concerning for me. And you know, Dermott's a nice player, but Gardner's a puck mover. Like, he's a guy, I know people like to kick him in the shins here, but you've seen what the team looks like without a capable puck mover back there. Another one, because Riley is one. But I think the health of Jake Gardner is really concerning for me.
I'm going to go with Kawhi. He is the man for the Raptors. He did not play the whole prior season. And he's had load management out the you-know-what this year. Yeah. How is he going to perform?
Yeah.
Night in, night out. I mean, he is the guy.
Mm. Yeah, this one's an easy one for me. It's Lowry and Kawhi, because the Leafs can win without Gardner and Dermott. They can win without them. The Raptors have no shot, none, if Kawhi and Lowry aren't at 100%. Not necessarily in the first round.
Right.
You know, I think you can get by Brooklyn or Miami. But once you play Philly or Boston or Milwaukee,
teams,
if those guys are lagging at all, you're toast.
And the NBA is superstar power,
it's
right?
It's all superstar. Yeah. Now, like, if this was, hey, Freddie and Morgan Riley versus Kawhi and Lowry, then we might be talking about a different story. But ultimately,
right,
we're talking about depth defensemen here that are important. I'm not downplaying their importance.
Correct.
But without Kyle and without Kawhi, you're toast. You guys want to hear some of the best audio?
Yes.
I've been trying to figure out whether or not Dana White actually doesn't know all of the months of the year, or if he was just kind of rambling and got going. He did an interview with Kevin Ioli of Yahoo Sports, and they were talking about a future fight and how long you have to wait until that fight can maybe take place.
Yeah.
Listen to this audio from Dana White.
It's friggin', what is it right now, March? It's March, it's the middle of March. April, May, June, July, October, September. That's 6 months.
He totally skips over August and then goes October.
September.
Before September.
Do it. Play it again. That is
April, May, June, July, October, September. That's 6 months.
Yeah, I love how he starts with the word friggin' too. Like, you know, like he's... It's just F-bombs and everything. That business, I love it. I'm not a big fan of it, but you know how that business works.
It's gritty in the
it
background.
It is gritty. And
there's no CBA.
No.
They're winging everything.
It just, yeah. I like it, though. That is awesome.
Friggin' 6 months. From March to October. Play that again.
April, May, June, July, October, September. That's 6 months.
What was our soundbite yesterday that we were adding to?
Well, the Serge Ibaka and Kawhi Leonard audio.
That's
the cooking show.
We've got to add that to the cooking show.
Well, why don't we play a few of those just to refresh the memory of everybody? Do you have that set up? Okay, go ahead.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
It's friggin', what is it right now, March? It's March. It's the middle of March. April, May, June, July, October, September. That's 6 months.
I love the conviction.
Yeah, like he's...
That's 6 months.
If he believes it, then it's true.
He doesn't even know what month it is right now.
But if somebody corrected him, I feel like he'd punch him in the face. Like, it wouldn't matter. Because even if you corrected him and he knew he was wrong, he would just double down and be like, doesn't matter. You take a backhand.
You know
you
what I
get a
I
Kelly
meant.
Chase from me.
You know what I meant.
Exactly. That's awesome.
How great is that?
It's
amazing. Play a couple of more of our Surge creations from yesterday.
Bro, are you coming back next year? Bro, are you coming back next year?
Never know.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
No.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
That's my favorite one.
Roark.
Tanner Roark. So, anyway, there's our poll. We're trying to be included in all this because the NHLPA issued their poll results earlier today. Ray Ferraro coming up. Ray's calling a game in Vancouver tonight.
Yeah. I'm
Vancouver, Ottawa, is it?
Yeah, I'm on the panel for it tonight, 10 p.m.
There's a panel for that game?
Absolutely.
What are you going to say about these two teams?
Myself and Glenn Sheeler. I'm talking about actually
10 o'clock panel.
They're quite similar in their rebuilds, if you look at it. Both teams have some good players to build around, and that's kind of how we're going to start and then see how it unfolds after that.
You think Ottawa's that close to Vancouver? I don't see an Elias Pettersson.
Well, take a look at Thomas Chabot and Eric Brännström, built from the back end.
Yeah. Well, Brännström, though, is he better than Quinn Hughes? I don't know. I mean, Brännström's playing now, but yeah. We'll see with
Well,
Quinn
he's
Hughes.
Not playing. He's down in the minors. But, yeah, Hughes, we don't know. Hughes is an unknown factor. But I think Ottawa's in better shape than people think. Like, they've got some good young players there. But it's how you shape them. Like,
yeah.
Like it's how you fill out the rest of your roster. And, you know, that's the one thing. I look at both of them. I mean, Pettersson's a slam dunk Calder.
That's like, the that only thing that sticks star. Out is that Pettersson is the guy. Like, he's so hard to get. You can fill out your third and fourth line and third parent. You got to get that superstar.
But they've got some good players, like both teams. But they're just farther. They're farther back than the top teams that we talk about all the time, the top 10.
Rays coming up just after 5. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs, Carolina, April 2nd down at Scotiabank. And every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you can call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf season high in goals is 21. Season high in goals is 21.
Current Maple Leaf?
I don't know if he's a current Maple Leaf. That hasn't been determined. Could be current, could be past. I have no idea. All right. You were at where were you today?
I was at TaylorMade Canada getting fitted for sticks.
All right, so you're working out some new clubs, and we started talking about
the worst kind of golf guy.
Yeah.
And I know, by the way, before you get to your lists and tweets and texts, the worst guy is 10 practice swings, hit a garbage shot guy. Because hit the ball. Hit the ball. You stink. Why are you taking 10 crappy practice swings?
I have a theory on that.
You do that.
No, I don't. I'm pretty quick. I putt. I got a slow putting routine. Because I'm awful at putting. And I think if I overread it somehow, then I overthink it. Then I'm hanging over the ball. And then I launch it 7 feet past the cup. But generally, the guy who has like 15 swings before he takes the shot has had a golf lesson. And the golf teacher has told him or her, you've got to get in this rhythm.
Yeah, you've got to have some sort of swinging motion.
Which is the worst possible scenario. Someone that's been to a golf coach, because then they think, I'm this close to getting it together. Like, I'm this I just learned a lesson. You got to try it. That guy's brutal, too.
Brutal.
I just learned this lesson. Check this out.
I just don't like the narrative. The guy who wants to, I mean, he's the play-by-play guy. That guy frustrates me. But at any sport, not just in golf. We've seen it. Sitting in the stands, you know, somebody has to narrate what's going on instead of just watching. I think I told you, I was at a UFC fight, and the guy behind me, we had good seats. The guy behind me is yelling at, like, John Jones, like, what to do. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he knows what to do. Just close your yap.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this guy was the toughest and whatever. I got out. I remember getting up at the end, and this guy was a grit grinder and had been in probably one high school fight in his life.
But he's yelling at the
ring and telling them what to do. The narrator, that's the guy who frustrates me. And on the golf course, they're even worse.
Yeah, they would be. They have been. I've been there. I've done that. Someone texting into 10:50:50. I disagree with this. Worst golfer is gambling guy. The guy who won't play unless there's money on the line.
I kind of respect that, though.
I like gambling guy.
Oh, are you a gambler on the course? Like,
I'll play for $100 max. 20,
yeah,
like 20,
I'm not saying big stakes, just for fun type of thing. Like,
yeah.
Well, skins, right? Like playing
whatever.
Skins is fun.
Skins and pins, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're ever going to leave there down 10 grand or
no,
something.
No, you're not... Lefty there. What's his Phil Mickelson?
Yeah, Mickelson. We got a game.
Yeah, we got a game. Got a couple pigeons waiting for us.
Called Charlie Hoffman.
That's who it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Get Charlie out here.
We
got to
find that. Do we have that phone call at some point? We got to dig that one up.
Yeah, it's great because he's like whispering. He's like, all right, we got Charlie Hoffman. We're going to rinse this guy. Bring money. It's on tomorrow. And he just like clicks. Just hangs up.
Just
doesn't
got
say
a
goodbye.
Pigeon on the line.
This guy is really aggravating. Pro tips guy when he's a chop.
That's
Like, play from the reds if you have to. Play from the whites.
Buddy, that's not a joke. Brutal golfers should be on the reds because they can't hit it anywhere. They think they got to be on the tips. It's four to get to the fairway, three on the fairway, on in 10, two putting for a 12. What do you do? Why are you playing the game?
Well, there's a stigma, right, to the reds. We all know what it is, and it's a stereotype.
It's the ladies' tees.
It's the ladies' tees, and guys don't want to play there.
But AKA forward tees now.
It's the forward tees now, because I tried saying that one time. It's like, yeah, the ladies' tees, you can't say that anymore.
Oh, you got in trouble?
Forward tees.
Okay. Yeah, forward tees. But pro tips,
right.
Guy is brutal. Like, no one, you know, you can't cross the water.
Yeah,
it's a 200-yard carry from the tips.
Right,
you know you can't do it. You suck. So that guy's pretty bad.
I would play from the forward tees.
We were talking about music being played on the course.
Yeah,
and I guess I'm outing this guy. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't really matter. Someone texting in saying a couple of years he was playing at Glen Abbey and Josh Donaldson was behind them blasting Limp Bizkit.
Wow,
on the course, the bringer of Bizkit.
I like the song Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. Like the actual just beginning of it, the guitars, that lick. Mulz, you love that tune. That's old school.
Limp Bizkit wasn't bad. I didn't have a problem with him.
No, but like that particular song, the guitars on it, quite aggressive. I could see that rolling. Like, that's good stuff.
But that would be tough if you're, again, on a golf course.
If you're on a course, no way.
A prestigious course like the Abbey, where it's not cheap. You know, you can get on it. It's a public course.
But Donaldson's worth $100 million. He's doing whatever he wants. So he's Rodney Dangerfield out there.
He's basically Dangerfield. And we've gotten a lot of these via text, email, tweet. This guy is the worst guy. Oh, I found it, guy. There it is.
I found it, guy, is the biggest cheater in the game. I'll tell you what. Fluff it in the rough, guy, is just as bad. You know the guy...
I don't have a problem with fluffing.
I saw a couple fluffs with a 5-wood, a couple fluffs. Like, you got to, people understand, you play the golf ball as it lies. I love the 5-wood fluff in the rough. It's like, no.
I support a fluff in the rough.
Would you get in trouble? So you're not supposed to fluff it up?
Technically, you're not, but we're not on tour here.
Dude, but come on. If you have any kind of... you're basically conceding the fact there's no way in hell I can hit this shot.
Basically.
And it's just a little... and they're always kind of doing a rubberneck horse-eyeing everybody in their group. And they're waiting for that moment when no one's looking, and then the fluff happens.
And when you just
prop it up right on the grass. Is that what it is?
Basically, yeah.
Or around the green, as you get that wedge, and you're like...
Well, that one is even worse.
I don't like fluff it around the rough or the guy that fluffs it around the green.
When it's on the edge of the fringe and someone like pushes it forward so that your backstroke isn't impeded, like it's like a mini putt move.
Do you know how many times I've played with guys and I see fluffing in the rough on the first or second hole and I'll be like, bets off. Sorry, I don't play with guys that don't know how to play golf. Or they're in the bunker and they just take a gravel pit of sand on the backswing. It's like, you can't do that.
You're right. If you're playing for money, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're playing for money, if you're out there and you're just, you know, chopping it up with buddies, I don't personally care about
fluffing.
If you
want to drink 5 beers and do whatever the hell you want. But don't ever try to gamble it, because it's not
right. I
like
a guy who drinks hard liquor on the course, like pours his own drink.
Those are tough.
I know. But like, beers are usually, I mean, you can pace yourself.
Hard liquor,
but
you're
in for a great
time.
But you got a guy who's got a couple, you know, vodkas into him and the first or second hole,
but
he's crushed by the ninth.
That said, drunk guy is the worst.
He's obnoxious.
If you're sober.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing a real course and you really want to shoot well and you're with drunk guy.
Yeah, it's not
who's
good.
Leaving clubs all over the course, driving the cart over the green.
Do you have the Phil?
Yeah.
Let's hear Phil on the phone message.
It's Phil. Hey, Sunday morning, we're on. You and I are partners against Charlie and one of his partners. Where would you like to play? We can play Rancho Santa Fe if you want, or we can play Coronado early and even someplace else after if we played early enough. But you and I are partners. Wanted to see if you wanted to play Coronado and take these guys for some serious cash. So let me know. Talk to you later. Bye.
In the zone.